Shalom, everyone. Today's date, December 24th, 2005. The weekly conversation with Maitreya is open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya, eternal divine path. We ask everyone to go to our website and learn the teaching first, so your questions will be on topic. Those who have not gone to our website and do not know our teachings will not have mic privileges. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Be a seeker and empty the cup of your previous knowing for the new wine of God. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teachings and be mindful that you are holding the energy at its highest. Send the questions which are too personal and or not related to the teachings to questions@maitreya.org. Questions will be taken in text also, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in our cyber church and hearing a lecture. Please listen to the complete answer to your last question before typing another question. If you would like to listen to his, Maitreya's previous lectures, satsangs, we have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Words Continuously, Religious Group Section. Shalom and welcome to everyone.
Shalom and welcome to the mission of Maitreya's calling elect. We indeed are calling elect to come and see the revelation of God and realize that it is the end time and God is seriously calling those who want to follow His words and His ways. I'd like to talk about the phenomena called wishful thinking today a little bit. And then, of course, this room is for those who have questions and have gone to our website and want to know more about the teachings and are not clear on points. And if they have been in the website and know Eternal Divine Path and our teachings, they can take the mic. Otherwise, they can type in text. Wishful thinking is a phenomena that humanity have to overcome. And that is thinking that we cannot go away from the setup of this universe and then not receive the consequences of our actions. Any thinking that we don't have to take responsibility of our actions and we don't have to worry about God and what He is gonna think about our actions. As far as nobody is around or Maitreya is not around, I can do as I please and not follow God's way and still believing that there is no consequences for our actions. Such a belief includes believing in a powerful Messiah that will come to earth and do it for us, which history says never had happened. Or some space brothers will come and bring the kingdom on earth for us. Or hanging into our belief from previous religions or our cultures and would not be able to let go of and become completely one with the Word of God, which is clearly has sent in His scriptures. And scriptures are the guidance for humanity, and they eventually have to recognize and realize if such a wishful thinking was possible, God would have rescued and turned the darkness was upon the face of the deep. In the very beginning, why did he have to go through all the creation to this point and call humanity to be responsible for their actions and to turn around and go to God? He would have done it then and be done with, and none of us would be here, and there wouldn't be any creation. But you can see this wishful thinking is in every culture, and every humans have a hard time to take responsibility for their own action and indeed read the scriptures, the revelation of God, especially this last one that clearly God says, this is the time of sundering. I'm going to separate my children and those who really want to listen to my will and my way, and those who will not listen to my ways will not come to me. As Christ said, there's going to be gnashing of the teeth and not very nice place as a consequence. But there's still a lot of people not reading the word of scriptures and God and believing that this creation is going to be here forever and nobody is going to be left out and there is not going to be any tribulation, end time, or anything that scripture already said will come. One of the things humanity have to do in this junction especially is stop having wishful thinking and waiting for something come and do it for them and not take responsibility or hang into their culture and their religion, the previous religions and what they know, or another thing, what they know or their idea that they have, and they think because their idea appeals to them, that is the way it's going to happen. That's why it's so important for everybody to read the words of God. God says there's going to be seven angels, the seven revelation. It will reveal everything to humanity. It will clarify all religion, unify them. And that's when the end time starts. That is the sundering begins. That's the time of humanity either go to God or go away. And we can see indeed, they are going away very fast. And what is God called the actions which are abomination to him are being done all over the world. And you can read in the chapter 18 of Leviticus, chapter 18, 19, 20, and some chapters there, what these actions are, and then look around yourself and see, are humanity doing those actions that God called abomination and Christ called the abomination of desolation? And if you read those chapters, you see indeed God said if they do these abominations, they will be desolated. The nations will be humbled. Those people who do not listen to those words is categorized as wishful thinking. Oh, not really. God is not going to do it. First of all, God is not there anyway. We can put him out in every corner and in every actions we do. We don't even want to bring the word of God to our schools or to our children. This universe is not created intelligently. There is no intelligent design. When God created supernovas and black holes, cooked the material to heavy material, create the whole universe. And you can see there is an intelligence behind his creation, but many deny there is an intelligence behind his creation. And they think by doing the actions that he called abomination, they will not be desolated. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the word of God as revealed in our revelation will come true. One beautiful thing about this teaching is it shows how God promised in the past and he fulfilled them. One of the things humanity always talk about, learn from history, learn from the past so you will not make the same mistakes in the future. And this revelation shows how God promised many things in the past and he fulfilled them. First, if he promised and he fulfilled them, he exists. You cannot put him out of our lives and say no. We just ignore him. He doesn't exist. He exists and he promised and he fulfilled them. And he said, after this seven revelation, which clarifies all the confusion, there will be a sundering. And those who still follow the actions that their abominations will be desolated. Those who do not see this clearly and still hang into their own ideas, cultures, backgrounds, not the Word of God, and believe that this universe is going to be forever and there is no end as are in the scriptures, they make a mistake. They use the wishful thinking. And God says after this revelation, eventually, the kingdom of God will come on earth for 1,000 years to make the elect to become the sons of God. After 1,000 years, there is a short period that those who have fallen and didn't make it now, given another chance, and that would be the end of it. There will be a time of those who reach to sunness and those who don't. So these things we have to recognize and realize and understand that there was a darkness in the beginning. God created the universe to take this darkness back. If he could have done it without us, take responsibility and accept our part in the process, it will not going to happen. There is no savior going to come from the sky and say be and it will be. You can wait and we wait and you will see at the end there isn't any. God doesn't change his ways. His way is to prophesy and say such and such a prophet will come and fulfill these prophecies and will bring this revelation, and all the prophets have had this happens to them, and then, of course, the word of God comes to man. So our salvation is to know the plan of God. What did he promise in the past? What he is promising now, and where we are at? He promised many things. He fulfilled them. He said the seventh angel comes. Nobody knows the truth until the seventh angel comes. Nobody knows the truth until the book sealed with the seventh seal is open. Yeah, it's open. Now what? We are going from here on. So we have to stop what we believe. We have to stop to look where culture we came from. We have to stop to believing in our own ideas, but knowing the Word of God and his revelation and following them, and therefore we have a good grip of the reality and we will be with him in the kingdom. Instead of thinking and wishing to be what we were or what we did and continue in our ways and still expect God to not follow what he already said he's going to do. So for those who do not want to take responsibility, those who do not want to read the scriptures and understand it, for those who are still hanging to their own ideas or religions, old cultures, look at the words of God clearly and read them, contemplate on them, understand them, and then follow them 100%. And God said, I don't want 90% or 80% or 95%. I don't want the lukewarm. If you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. These are not my words. These are the words of God and his scriptures from the past. And the whole creation eventually will be dissolved and go back to its origin. And the darkness that did not make it have to wait for millions of billions of years before they can give another opportunity to hear these words and progress and go to God. It was interesting that somebody was telling me this morning that they were reading the Revelation, and one of the category that will not make it is the fearful. The warmongers, the adulterers, this and that, and one of them was the fearful. That person said that was interesting, you know, she never considered that as a part of those who are not going to make it. So we should become fearless and absolutely accept God 100% in everything we do. And know his words, read his scriptures. We are the most educated group in the world. Education have never been so high in a human history. And still we don't pick up the scriptures and read it and say, yeah, that is what God said. If it's not according to what God said, that's my idea, my opinion. My culture, my upbringing, my wishful thinking. Therefore, get rid of the wishful thinking. Become one with the Word of God. Especially if you believe this is the last revelation of God and opening of the seventh seal, then this is pretty critical moment in human history that we have to recognize it is the end time. This is the time of the coming of the elects and those who have progressed to a point of no return, and they are here to indeed go to God and become one with the Spirit and escape the suffering and the destructive forces in this external world and return to where there is only eternity and knowledge and beingness, no mind, no ego, but oneness with the infinity. And that can be experienced in this body. Now, the only thing is we have to create an environment that our physiological and safety need easily taken care of. Therefore, this body, which is really a garment, and we will leave it behind when we leave the body, but we have to keep it up. We have to give it nutrition and the thing it needs, but we shouldn't be attached to it because it's not going to come with us. I think probably the next step in the mission, not only calling elects, is going toward creating a small community, 200-300 acres, that we can really build community and sing the call to prayer and put an example for humanity that they can come. Of course, they're all welcome to come and visit. It's not going to be a cultic community, but it's going to be an open community as an example for people to see that at a specific time there's going to be call to prayer and people can leave and be honest and share, and a sample for humanity to know the best way to live is the communities of light. We can at least create one community around 2,000 people in it. That could be a next goal or the next goal for the mission, and those who are in a mission can start thinking about it and spreading the word that maybe that's where we are going next. And if we can create a community that way, that put an example of the unity, of beauty, of sharing, of peace, then more people can see how it works in a community that God is number one, His laws are followed, criminals are not tolerated, good people are encouraged and supported and secured, a community that people will have more time to meditate and awaken their spiritual forces, a little kingdom in the ocean of Maya, and therefore we can show good people of the world there is a way out. There are a lot of good people out there, but they feel helpless and hopeless. Also, they do not agree with a lot of things happening. They feel they are helpless to do anything. And of course, many people also have been brainwashed. Instead of seeing that wishful thinking is not going to get them anywhere, but God's way is the only way, they eventually will see, yes, indeed, we better realize that that's not going to help us at all. So the time is indeed here for humanity to be separated, and those who do have wishful thinking soon will find that what they have and the grace of God was with them no longer will going to be there. Because as he said, those actions which are abomination to him will cut the grace from them. And instead of they praying to God and thank him for the grace that he gave them, they go against his will and do things that he says they are abomination. They will soon find themselves the grace is not there. What they used to do and prosper will not prosper any longer because the grace of God is no longer there. Those who are aware and awakened, those who are in these places and they realize that was the grace of God that made them what they are or who they are, will not stand and sigh and let those actions destroy them also. They will withdraw from it. They will be in the world. I'm not saying they should leave the world and say no, we and them, but they will be in the world but not of it any longer. But they will be the children of God that work toward the community of light and spread of the word of this revelation to those who are also called to be with us in this march. And of course, those who won't, they will receive the tribulation and also will not be incarnated next lifetimes. So the plan indeed is in progress, and those who have the eye, they can see all the signs everywhere. And they can see that the grace indeed has been taken away from them. It shall return after their return to God. This revelation is the beginning of the end. It's not something to take it lightly. When God sends a prophet a revelation, especially the last one, which is for the whole humanity, they should really open their eyes and ears and listen to the revelation and accept it and follow it 100%. Of course, the preaching has been going on for the last 20-some years. If somebody hadn't heard it, or bring the excuse that I didn't know such a revelation has come, it's not going to be accepted, because we have reached in any way we could to humanity, and also it's our responsibility to reach out to every corner of the world in any way possible, so as many people can hear it, and when they heard it, we are done. This is not my revelation, it's God's revelation. You're not joining the mission because of me, but because of God's words. It is your salvation. I'm just a plain messenger to call you to it and make you realize, yes, indeed, God says he will do things, he will do them. And he said there is a period that his kingdom come and will come, that the Babylon of the Great will fall, and that will be great fall. And these things is going to happen. If we are sitting there and wishing it's not going to happen, no, it's not going to happen, this is wishful thinking. That is the only way to go. Not expecting a Messiah come and do it for us. We are intelligent. God gave us hands, mind, spirit. The only thing we have to learn is how to come together and work together and make this happen. If you sit there and wait for somebody to come, or wishing it's not going to happen, it takes you away from the body. You become irresponsible. Working with the body become hard, and therefore you fall off, because you do not want to take responsibility, and you wait for the Space Brothers, great Messiah, Mahdi, Savior, Maitreya, who is going to come and do it for us. As I said, God never did it that way, and now it is the elect to recognize this responsibility and take the responsibility seriously and indeed take action. Let us concentrate to spread this mission to every corners of the world. Let us come together and see how and where we can find such a sample community in this world and put an example for humanity, and therefore many can come and join that community, or at least many know that indeed there are people who claiming that they have the seven seals, seven revelation, the last word of God to humanity, and they might be interested to know more about it, and they see indeed they have also forget about what they know and what they think they know, or their opinion, their religion, their culture, and unlearn a lot of things that they think is the way, as it has happened before. In the past, there were people that they worship idols or their ancestors or this and that, and they thought they have the truth. But when a greater truth came, eventually they forgot about what they had and accepted the new revelation. This is indeed, again, a time of unlearning and learning new things and accepting the word of God. Read the scriptures. See what God says. not what I believe or I think it should be. If we do that, of course, we also become more united and unified. Because we have the same ideas, the same opinions, the same understanding of the Word of God, and therefore separation between us and opinion which clash with one another will be lessened, and we see the same thing as other people in the mission see. And therefore, we don't have much conflict with one another because we all accept the Word of God and how it's going to happen and how we can be a part of it and help and accomplish it. It is our responsibility to read, to understand, to come ask questions here. Is it really a Space Brothers going to come and help us to bring the kingdom? Where in the scripture says that? Where in the scripture says that the ship's going to come and we should make a ambassadorial welcome and build them some houses so they can come as Elohim and all those things that many people believe? Where is in the scriptures? God says, I'm a spirit, not in a space, brother. Read the Word of God. See what you say is really a part of what God has revealed. If we do that, of course, we understand that world is going toward that finality. So stop having wishful thinking. Guide other people to read the scriptures of God. Let them understand what is here. God said is going to come. He promised in the past and he fulfilled them. He said what's going to happen in the future and it will happen. Have no doubt about that. And anybody who doubts that again falls in the category of wishful thinking. Yeah, I know all of us want to have peace and no tribulation and everybody do whatever they want and none of those things are going to happen. But that's not the Word of God. That's not the reality. The reality is read the scriptures, see what God says is going to happen. And we can see He fulfilled sending the seventh revelation. We can see humanity and people are going away from God more and more. And that's amazing. We are the most educated people and apparently the most intelligent people that history ever had. And we don't see the intelligence or the mind behind the creation. Then science explain it intelligently and say, yes, there is three forces in the universe and they are created and God did create the supernova so he can have the heavy material to build the rest of the universe. Actually, God says creating supernova and black holes was much easier than make humanity to follow his will. That was easier for him to do that. Timothy has a question, so we go to his question. Go ahead, Timothy.
Shalom, Maitreya. Shalom, everyone. I was having a little confusion with God's holy days and wondered if you could talk about them more. When I was reading chapter 23 in Leviticus, there's sections that talk about sacrificing lambs, sacrificing oxen, giving unleavened bread and such as burnt offerings. And then when I read so, it's very eloquent and straightforward and doesn't talk about sacrificing lambs and such. What is that symbology or what is that meaning in the Bible in Leviticus 23? when they're talking about these sacrifices and such. Shalom.
Shalom, Timothy, and good question. The sacrifice of humans were practiced until the time of Abraham, and he took his sons. Of course, Hebrews or Jews says that it was Isaac. Muslim says it was Ishmael. We say it could be both of them. So again, both are correct. It might be that he took both of them to sacrifice. God said stop, because he showed that he unconditionally accepted the will of God to the point of sacrificing his children, which he loved very much. Especially in those cultures, sons were very important to follow their father, patriotic societies. So we can see from then on, sacrifice of humans are stopped, and sacrificial practices are mostly done with the animals, especially lambs. And eventually Moses brought the laws for children of Israel, and he had elaborate practices of sacrificing doves, oxen, lambs, and always God demanded that it is going to be an unblemished sacrifice, especially lamb, an unblemished lamb, the best lamb they had. The one didn't have any defect at all. The night before they left Egypt, God demanded them they kill a lamb and put the blood on the doorposts. And whoever didn't do that didn't make it. So the only people who killed an unblemished lamb and put the blood on the doorposts became a chosen one and went to the promised land. Then Christ came to them as their Messiah. He was the Lamb of God. He was unblemished. He was the avatar. He was the Messiah. He was the anointed one. He was the chosen one. He came, and as the unblemished and innocent Lamb of God, Christ came to the Hebrews, and of course, they crucified him. They sacrificed him. At the time of the Adam and Eve, when they failed to follow God, they fell from grace. They were put out of the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, they weren't blessed, and therefore they did not have to sacrifice anything. They didn't have to meditate. They didn't have to read the scriptures. God was with them. They were completely in touch with God directly. And they were naked and they were not ashamed. Naked, of course, here also means they didn't have any body. Body created later on for them after God gave them the coat of skin. But when they fell, the direct relationship between God and humanity was severed, and they were thrown out of the Garden of Eden. Actually, we are going back the way we were before. Hopefully, elects eventually become the sons of God, and they will have a direct connection to God. So the grace was taken from them, and they had to appease God by sacrificing human until Abraham. Then they had to sacrifice animals, perfect animals, until the time of Christ. When Christ came, he was the sacrificial lamb that had to be crucified. He knew from the prophecies that he has no choice. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, God, can take this cup from me. And he immediately recognized that is not the will of God. Therefore, he shouldn't have even asked that. And therefore, he immediately said, your will be done, not mine. And he went through the crucifixion. And from then on, the grace was released back to humanity. Those who believed that Christ indeed died for humanity, they will receive the grace of God. You don't have to be Christian to receive the grace. You don't have to belong to any specific religion. As far as you believe that indeed that happened, so God released the grace back to humanity. From then on, we didn't need any animal sacrifice either, because he already sacrificed for us, and he released the grace. We don't have to appease God by killing animals and oxen and lambs and doves and go through the elaborate sacrificial rites that Jewish people practiced. So we can see after Christ, even animal sacrifices stopped. And in the time of Prophet Muhammad, of course, he didn't practice sacrifice much. I guess there is only one time a year they kill a lamb as an offering and they give it to the poor. So the idea even then wasn't that you kill it and to appease God, but give it to the poor so the poor have at least a good meal once in a while from the rich. Of course, there's a lot of laws that rich people have to take care of the poor also, to a point. Bob didn't bring any sacrificial rites either, neither Baba and neither our teachings. So it's no longer necessary to kill animals or human, but understanding the word of God, understanding why this happened, why the grace was taken away. God was with humanity. They had complete direct relationship with each other in the Garden of Eden. That's why they were in the garden, because they were in the grace. That's what really means. Being in the Garden of Eden means being in the grace of God. You don't need anything. God will provide it for you. You don't have to till the ground. You don't have to worry about anything. Just trust in God. As Christ said, don't take much. Just take one coat and go and preach the gospel to the world. God will provide it for you. And as I started this mission with 10 cents, but not having any visa even to stay in this country, now we have a mission that is going all over the world and is prospering everywhere. So the fearful will not enter the kingdom. Of course, at the Passover, the only thing we do is we do hang a hush necklace on our doorposts as a remembrance of what the Hebrews did at the time of the Passover, which they put blood of the lamb on the doorposts. We hang up a hush emblem on the door, which usually are a necklace, but it doesn't have to be necklace as well as it has the hush emblem in it. And that, of course, a sign for us of obedience of God and his children, and God will pass over our house, and that year will be a year of the prosperity and no tribulation or destructive tendencies as much as possible. So we do recommend that in the Passover, but we do no longer recommend to kill animals to appease God, because Christ died instead of animals. And by following eternal divine path, of course, the kingdom will come. More people will meditate. We bring the kingdom of God on earth. And eventually, in 1,000 years, we will go back to the Garden of Eden. I hope that answers your question. If you have a follow-up, go ahead. That is really the gist of it, that humanity has progressed in their spiritual path. The less and less blood shedding is necessary. And at the time of Christ, that completely was stopped. He is the unblemished, perfect, innocent Lamb, Son of God, and therefore he is a great manifestation and prophet. That's why he is so celebrated, because he released the grace back to humanity. And that's how the followers of Christ were blessed to this point. And Prophet Muhammad even says the follower of Christ will be blessed until the end time. Now we can see that grace is released to whole humanity. Those who do believe in eternal divine path, those who believe on the scriptures and the prophets, and see that indeed Christ released the grace, they will also receive the grace. So the playing field is flattened for every human, and those who follow God is the scriptures, and eternal divine path are the elects, and no specific nation, specific area of the earth is just blessed because they follow a specific prophet or Christ. And every human should recognize that, they should acknowledge that indeed Christ was the Lamb of God, and he came and he died, so the grace will be released back to humanity. That's why we don't use the Passover with the rituals that Moses recommended for the Hebrews. We do follow eating some bitter vegetables and that night, in remembrance of how God passes over those who are his children and accept him as their God, and therefore they acknowledge that they are the children of God. And now the only people who can be the children of God are those that are in the mission and follow eternal divine path. So this is absolutely a new heaven and a new earth, as God promised will come. It's a new religion, a new revelation. It is new rituals, new way of seeing and understanding God's plan and what he was doing to this point. And if we can see that, indeed, we have a very good grip of the reality of what God has been doing and why we are here and where we are going. Therefore, by understanding this revelation, you understand the plan of God, you understand what he was doing, who he promised, what he promised, how it was fulfilled, how the creation is created, why the creation is created, what is the goal of life, why we are here, and what is coming. It's perfect. It's absolute vision of the creation and God and what is happened and what's going to happen. So if you know this revelation, you know the truth. There is nothing like it on earth. And God said he's going to come, and all the credit goes to him. It is not my revelation. If you join the mission, you're not joining because of me. You're joining because this is the truth of God. You're joining because your salvation is based on the word of God. Therefore, we can see we have a wonderful thing from God come to us. We have another question from Hephaeus. He's asking, why are the Jews and Muslims fighting over the Holy Land? What makes them think it belongs to them? Well, actually, Holy Land belongs to God, and God's revelation says all the religions are true and a part of each other, and they complement one another. So really, Holy Land belongs to us. And there has to be a temple built there that all the religions of the world can go there and see the unity of God. And of course, God said there is going to be a new Jerusalem. So they are fighting over something which is old. It is done, it is gone, it's done its dharma, and now it is going to be a new Jerusalem. Actually, there was an article in Time magazine. I think we have it somewhere in the mission. We saved it. It was talking about how Albuquerque and building those houses look so similar to Jerusalem. If you look at the altitude, also Albuquerque is the same altitude as the Jerusalem. That's why we believe Rio Rancho or Albuquerque area is the new Jerusalem. So they are fighting on something that its time has gone. Now, why they are fighting? Because they are two brothers of the same father. And brothers usually fight over the father and his inheritance. So each of them claim that they have the right on that piece of property. And, of course, Hebrews says, well, it belonged to us. Then Moses brought us from Egypt and brought us to the Holy Land. But, of course, Jews do not believe that Christ came and told them the kingdom will be taken away from you and given to another nation. And Judah prophesied that when the Shiloh comes, the kingdom will be finished. They're still hanging into idea that they are the only chosen people when God said when the Messiah comes, that's the end of it. And he scattered them, you know, the history, what happened to the Hebrews, he split them to two nations and all that. Of course, they believe, we don't believe in Christ. We do not believe God ever finished our being chosen. Therefore, this land is ours. Christians say, well, Christ came and he is the only way and he born there and he was the Messiah came from that place. Therefore, it really belongs to us. But Christians are more subdued. They did fight over it with Muslim in the Crusades. And then, of course, Muslims say, no, we have the last word. Prophet Muhammad came and he, in one dream, he went to God from the place that the mosque is. He is the last prophet and therefore we have the right. So that's what they're fighting for. They're fighting on the old Jerusalem. When God already had sent a new revelation, chosen a new Jerusalem, and if they understand this teaching and realize what happened, all of them should become divine. All of them should say, yes, we are going to follow eternal divine path. We no longer are Muslim, Jews, Christians, Buddhists, Hindus, or whatever, but we are divines, and therefore the war will end. There is nothing there to fight for. And also, of course, I'd like to see in Jerusalem if we could build a temple that has all the seven religions in it, which connects the Jewish section to mosque to Christian section, and we can have a beautiful temple that shows all of them. They're all a part of it, and each of them can go to that temple from their side, but in the center there are one, because there is only one God. There is not many of them. Therefore, we have resolved that problem as many things is happening on earth right now. They don't know it. They don't know our teaching. They don't know this new revelation. They don't know the unification. They should. That's why I'm so adamant to get this message out to everyone. It's not only Jerusalem. In India, Muslims and Hindus fight. In everywhere you look, there are fights over religions and their ideas, and now the way is to come together and share and create the kingdom of God on earth. So the base of their fight is each of them think they have the right. God gave them the right to have that land. And of course, we know better. That land belongs to God, and they all have to come together and get along and live in the comings of light, share and create an earth that nobody is higher or lower, but all are the children of God. Sterling Fine is asking, Dear Maitreya, my heart is with you. I have longed to understand heaven and on earth. Recently, a friend of mine stated that those who have incarnated on earth have been doing so with the desire, God's desire, to experience the completion of pure consciousness in the body. What say thee, Maitreya? Well, if you read our teachings, you will know that indeed a part of the universe went out of light and became darkness, and the reason for reincarnation is to learn our lessons, and God gave us many opportunities so we can experience and progress. But of course, this will not continue for long. Those who will lag behind will not experience pure consciousness in body. That's what exactly I was talking about today, about wishful thinking. And if we just believe that it's not going to end and we're going to be incarnated forever, so there is no urgency in our progress, that is not our teachings. Our teaching is very sharp in cutting some of the people who will not progress out of the grace. And therefore, you have to read our teaching instead of listening to other people or having our own ideas, but understanding what the Word of God is and what is the revelation and scriptures and what He promised and what He said and what is going to happen. So I recommend you read the teaching and you will see, yes, indeed, we are here to experience the pure consciousness in body, but at the same time, there is an time period doing it. I hope that answered your question, and we are 5 minutes after our time. Again, I leave all of you to God, be good, and know that indeed we have to go to God for sure. Salam, everybody.